Between 1923 and 1954, the Irish state executed 29 people who had been convicted of murder. Almost all of these executions were carried out in the hanghouse at Mountjoy Prison. The prisoners' remains were buried in unmarked graves behind the prison walls. The last person to meet this fate was Michael Manning, who was hanged 60 years ago this month. Lorcan Clancy has the story.
The trials of those who were sentenced to death in Ireland were very short compared to modern trials.
Some of them were just a half a day, and the longest was 17 days.
Tim Carey is the author of Hanged for Murder, which tells the stories of the 29 people judicially executed by the Irish state.
At the end of the trial, if the person was found guilty, the judge would put on the black cap and sentence the prisoner to death. They would then be brought from the Green Street Courthouse, which is where all the trials took place, to Mountjoy Prison.
Once the appeal process was over, it was usually just 3 weeks until the date of the execution.
They were given better conditions, they got better food, they got cigarettes, they got newspapers, they got games, but they were kept isolated from all other prisoners during that time. The night before the execution, at around 6 o'clock, all visits would cease, and then they would just be left with two warders to pass the night. The hangman arrived at the prison the night before the execution and made sure that the hang house was ready. They would tie a bag of sand, the weight of the prisoner, to the rope and suspend it overnight to take the stretch out of it, the bounce out of it. The hangman would then inspect the prisoner. Now, the prisoner wouldn't know this. The prisoner could be out in an exercise yard. The hangman would look at them. They'd be given their weight and height, but they'd look for any, you know, have they got a thick neck? You know, is there anything I need to take into account here? Have they any cuts? And then they would make any adjustments accordingly. The executions usually took place on a Monday. They always took place at 8 o'clock in the morning. At 7 o'clock, the prison chaplain would have come to the prisoner and given Mass and Communion. Just fractionally before 8 o'clock, probably the most terrifying sort of 20, 25 seconds, half a minute of a person's life, took place when the door opened, the hangman walked in, the warders walked in, the prisoner's arms were strapped. He was marched very quickly through a door from the condemned cell into the hanghouse. You're talking literally 5 yards. Then when they got to the hanghouse, the legs would have been pinioned. The prisoner would have been positioned on the trap door, the hood put over the head. When the hangman saw that everything was in order, he would hit the lever and the trap door would open and the prisoner would drop.
In the 1950s, opposition to capital punishment was growing. When the final person was hanged in 1954, it had been 6 years since the last execution.
Had Manning's crime not been so heinous, the 1948 execution might well have been the last one.
Michael Manning was a 25-year-old carter from Limerick City who had recently gotten married.
Like most of the people who were executed, he had never committed a crime before or a crime of note before. There was nothing unusual about him, nothing to suggest that he would commit, you know, one of the most violent crimes that you could imagine. On November 18th, 1953, he was on the Castletroy Road outside Limerick. He was heading back into town. He had a few pints that day. He had somewhere between 8 and 10 pints throughout the course of the day. He saw an elderly woman walking down the road. This unfortunate person happened to be Nurse Catherine Cooper, 64 years old. She had just been making a home visit to her former boss who was ill, and she was walking back into town. For no apparent reason, Michael Manning attacked her. He attempted to rape her, broke 3 of her ribs, smashed out 5 of her teeth, and suffocated her to death. It was an absolutely horrendous crime. Manning was suspected because his hat was found at the scene. It was a very distinctive hat. It was kind of like a clown's hat or a Mountie's hat. Had his hat not been found at the scene, he may have gotten away with it. The guards called to his house. They woke him up, questioned him in bed, and he says, "I'll tell you the whole thing." Opened up a pack of cigarettes, lit a fag and said it was drink, and he told them exactly what happened and said that he did it.
Manning's trial opened on the 15th of February 1954 and lasted for 3 days.
The issue of drink was one that I think the jury sort of looked at a lot in this case. How drunk do you have to be to not be responsible for your actions? And the judge was very clear, you must be absolutely off your head and not know what you are doing. It's not a case of I had a few pints and, you know, the urge came over me or something like that. That's not a defence.
Manning's defence also put forward the argument that he had been insane at the time he committed the crime.
The only evidence put forward was that he had relations who had been in mental institutions at various times, but there was no real hard evidence put forward.
It took the jury about 2.5 hours to reach their guilty verdict.
There was petitions for clemency, which included signatures from relations of Nurse Catherine Cooper, whom he had killed. There was also direct appeals made to members of the government. And I'm sure that there was a lot of deliberation over this case, just because it had been 6 years. And really, they probably thought they would never be executing someone again for a criminal case. But all those attempts failed, and he met his death on April 20th.
Shortly after Manning's execution, Brendan Behan's play, The Querfellow, was first produced. It's based on the case of Brendan Kirwan, who was executed in 1943 while Behan was an inmate at Mountjoy.
After The Querfellow was produced and was such a hit and focused so much on the brutality of capital punishment, that it was nearly virtually impossible for the Irish state to ever do that again. You know, it had become such an iconic play in Ireland. Since 1922, the rate of executions and capital punishment cases had consistently declined. You know, society was becoming more stable. There was, you know, less people who had been involved in the War of Independence, in the Civil War. It was a less violent society. There was also an international movement against capital punishment. So there was a general move away from it as a concept of punishment. There were certainly more heinous crimes that took place in Ireland after Michael Manning's, and capital punishment didn't go off the statute book until, you know, decades later. But no one else was ever executed.
Lorcan Clancy reporting there, and Tim Carey's book, Hanged for Murder, Irish State Executions, is published by the Collins Press.